Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Triumph of Economic Freedom, Debunking the Seven Great Myths of American Capitalism, is a nonfiction work of economic history and public policy by Phil Graham and Donald J. Boudreau. Its purpose is to challenge widely repeated claims about capitalism in the United States by examining major turning points in economic development and the role of government. Intervention. The book is organized around seven enduring myths, including the idea that the Industrial Revolution impoverished workers, that Progressive-era regulation was broadly beneficial, that the Great Depression proved capitalism had failed, that trade hollowed out manufacturing, that deregulation caused the financial crisis, and that inequality and poverty are best understood as failures of the market. Rather than arguing in abstract ideological terms, the authors use a fact-driven style to reframe these debates through historical evidence, economic reasoning, and attention to how statistics are often presented. The result is a defense of economic freedom that is aimed at readers who want a clearer view of how prosperity has actually developed. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reassessing the Industrial Revolution as a source of rising living standards. A central theme of the book is the challenge to the familiar claim that industrialization made ordinary workers worse off. Graham and Boudreau argue that this narrative is based on a narrow reading of early factory life and ignores broader changes in wages, consumer access, job opportunities, and long-term material improvement. Their point is not that industrialization was painless, but that it created a dramatic expansion in productive capacity that gradually raised living standards for large numbers of people. By placing the Industrial Revolution in a longer historical frame, they show how economic disruption can be mistaken for economic decline when people focus only on visible hardships rather than overall gains. This topic matters because it underpins the book's larger claim that capitalism should be judged by its cumulative effects on ordinary life, not by isolated examples of harsh transition. The authors use this myth to illustrate a recurring pattern in economic debate. Short-term disruption is often attributed to market forces, while the less visible benefits of innovation, specialization, and growth are overlooked. Secondly, why the book argues progressive-era regulation is often misunderstood. Another major topic examines the progressive era, which is commonly remembered as a time when regulation corrected the excesses of industrial capitalism. Graham and Boudreau contend that this interpretation is too simple and often backwards. They suggest that many regulatory measures were shaped not only by concern for consumers and workers, but also by the political influence of incumbent producers who stood to benefit from restricting competition. In this view, regulation frequently protected established firms, organized interests, and political coalitions rather than producing the broad public gains later attributed to it. The book uses this historical reinterpretation to caution readers against assuming that government action is automatically corrective or neutral. It highlights a broader analytical method. One must ask who benefits from regulation, what problems it actually solved, and what unintended consequences followed. This topic is important because it shifts the discussion from regulation as an abstract good to regulation as a policy instrument that can serve mixed and sometimes opposing interests. Thirdly, the Great Depression and the limits of blaming capitalism for policy failure. The authors also revisit the Great Depression, one of the most powerful episodes in American economic memory. A common public lesson is that the collapse revealed the inherent instability of capitalism and justified stronger government management of the economy. Graham and Boudreau dispute that lesson by emphasizing the role of policy mistakes, monetary disruptions, and institutional failures in deepening and prolonging the downturn. Their argument is part historical and part conceptual. A crisis that occurs in a capitalist economy is not automatically evidence that markets caused it. Instead, the question is whether government responses made conditions better or worse, and whether policy choices distorted price signals, credit conditions, or incentives. This chapter of the book is important because the Great Depression remains a reference point for nearly every modern debate over intervention. By contesting the idea that the episode proves capitalism's inadequacy, the authors aim to weaken one of the most durable arguments for expansive state power. The larger lesson is that economic emergencies should be analyzed carefully rather than turned into permanent justifications for control. Fourthly, trade manufacturing and the false story of deindustrialization. The book devotes serious attention to the belief that freer trade hollowed out American manufacturing and left the country economically weakened. Graham and Boudreau argue that this story confuses correlation with causation and overlooks the real drivers of manufacturing change, including productivity growth, technological innovation, shifting consumer demand, and changes in comparative advantage. They do not deny that some workers and communities were harmed by industrial restructuring, but they reject the idea that imported goods or open trade are the main explanation for manufacturing decline. The broader point is that economies evolve because resources move toward more productive uses, not because every sector remains static. By framing trade as part of a dynamic market process, the authors show how lower prices and greater variety can benefit consumers even when some industries contract. This topic gives the book practical relevance because trade policy remains a major political flashpoint. Its contribution is to separate visible losses in specific sectors from the less visible gains in real purchasing power, innovation, and overall economic efficiency. Lastly, rethinking inequality and poverty through taxes, transfers, and relative measures. The final major cluster of myths concerns income inequality and poverty. Graham and Boudreau argue that common statistics often create a misleading picture because they focus on pre-tax cash income and ignore the effect of government transfers, tax policy, and non-cash benefits. Once those are included, the authors contend the gap between rich and poor looks very different from the way it is often presented in public debate. They also argue that poverty is frequently described in absolute or emotional terms, without attention to the safety net, especially food assistance, housing support, and medical benefits, which change what material deprivation means in practice. A further part of the analysis is comparative poverty and inequality in the United States cannot be understood without comparing American living standards to those in other advanced economies. This section is significant because it shows how measurement choices shape political conclusions. The book does not treat inequality and poverty as irrelevant, but it insists that policy should begin with accurate interpretation rather than alarming but partial statistics. That methodological caution is one of the book's clearest strengths. In conclusion, this book will be most useful for readers interested in economic history, public policy, free markets, and the way political narratives are built from selective facts. Students, educators, policymakers, business readers, and general audiences who want a readable defense of capitalism will find it especially relevant. Its practical value lies in showing how to evaluate claims about industrialization, regulation, trade, financial crises, inequality, and poverty without relying on slogans or inherited assumptions. Intellectually, it encourages readers to separate economic outcomes from the policies that may shape them, and to examine how statistics can mislead when context is removed. What distinguishes it from many other books in the same genre is its structure rather than offering a broad ideological defense. It organizes the argument around seven specific myths that are deeply embedded in American public debate. That approach gives the book a clear argumentative focus and makes it useful as a corrective to common textbook and media narratives. It is best read as a compact historical and analytical rebuttal to anti-capitalist orthodoxies, written for readers who want evidence first and ideology second. If you would like to support Phil Graham, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.